Greet you this morning as the Apostle Paul did to the Ephesians. I love the book of Ephesians. There's so much deep spiritual truth in there, things concerning the church. But he addresses them, he says, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And the psalmist says that in such an eloquent way, where he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Here in Ephesians, as we've been studying, we've noted the redemption through his blood. We noted this morning the hope of your calling, the exceeding riches of his grace, greatness of his grace toward us. God is good. God is good. For a message this morning, a bit unusual maybe. Myron didn't know what I was going to speak on, and I didn't know what he was going to speak on, but gave a good introduction to the message. I didn't know either that we were going to hear a week of sessions on time. The title of the message this morning is The Time of the Signs. I borrowed that title. Saw a book advertised. I haven't read it. I didn't send for it. But the title took my attention. Intrigued me. You know, we've talked about the signs of the times. But he entitled his book, The Time of the Signs. And this message has been burning in my heart for quite some time. But the necessity of it and the urgency of it came to fruition in a hotel in Turkey back in April. And I'm not sure where we got started. We got started talking about the second coming of Christ. This was Brother William and Brother Earl and two of my granddaughters who were along. And they started asking questions, and I tried to answer their questions. And finally, one of them says, well, why do we never hear these things? It smote me in my heart a little bit. Why do we never hear these things? A very legitimate, pertinent question, given the fact that 27% of the Bible when written was prophecy. And so my answer to her is a little bit of a, not quite sure, but my answer to her was simply this, that at Summit View, prophecy is not to be controversial. I want you to remember that this morning. Prophecy is not to be controversial, and that to avoid controversy, in the past we've seen it necessary to capitulate to the one side. But I had to acknowledge that this has led to an unhealthy neglect of 27% of the Bible. And so I think, especially with the fact that I believe with all my heart that we're living in the time of the signs, we need to talk about these things more. Appreciated the thought this morning that we need to identify our enemy, and then we need to know the voice of our shepherd. Very, very true. And with that, I think we need to realize the time in which we live. The message is not meant to be controversial and is not to be received as such. Remember this statement, this message. Most messages, those who teach preaching would say that a message ought to have 3 points and maybe 3 subpoints under each point. I haven't followed that, but this message has only 1 point. It has one aim and one aim only. And that is that it is a feeble attempt to show that we are living in the time of the signs. That's the point. And if anyone takes it any other way, you've missed the point. Now, in my conversation with different people more recently, I have finally had to conclude that at least for some, Peter's indictment may be more relevant than we like to think. Where he talks of those who have fallen away, and he says, they say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. My intent is to convince you otherwise. Okay? Turn with me to 2 Peter. I'm going to read quite a bit of scripture this morning. In 2 Peter chapter 3, starting to read in verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before you by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. One of the warnings that Jesus gave was that the time just before he returns would be like the time of Noah. And I think what he's saying there is people were just living normal lives, marrying, giving in marriage. They were just living normal lives as if time was going to go on forever. He had no idea that the next day judgment would come. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with the great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This verse, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So we consider the fact that we are living in the time of the signs. That's how we ought to live, in all holy conversation and godliness. Back in Matthew chapter 11, there's an interesting verse says, chapter 11 verse 24 says, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. When you consider the land of Sodom, and you consider the reasons why it was overthrown, in the account there, it becomes pretty obvious that they were morally corrupt. Where is it that gives another list? They were destroyed because of their pride, fullness of bread and abundance of idleness. These are warnings that are given to us. Matthew 11:15. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows. And he goes on and he gives those few illustrations. And I understand him to be saying that they can't even read the signs of the times. They don't even know the time of the signs. And then he goes on there and he pronounces woe unto certain cities that where judgment had come, but then he says that it shall be more tolerable for them in the day of judgment than for you. Interesting verse then in verse 25, he says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. And so you have to wonder sometimes if those in power and authority across this world, if they only realized what has happened in the past and what is coming in the future, if they only realized the time of the signs, how much different this could be. Well, Jesus said that he has revealed this to babes. And I think all of us could consider ourselves babes in that respect. He has made known to us the mystery of his will. He has made known to us the things that are coming to pass. Myron, I think, mentioned just a little bit this morning in his devotional about the moral corruption. I don't know how many of you are even aware of the fact that the month of June in the United States here is designated as Pride Month. How many of you knew that? Most of you. How many of you are shocked by that? I think we have to be. Pride Month. Homosexuality used to be known as sodomy. Homosexuals as sodomites, and most states had laws against it. Now it's accepted even in the Mennonite churches, Mennonite Church USA, that is. These things just come and they grow on us and we get used to them. I still remember the first Mennonite divorce. Now there's homosexuality and gender confusion. But I ask again the question, are we shocked? Do we recognize the fact that we are living in the time of the signs? I was preaching with someone recently, and he was referring to this gender confusion, etc., and the things that we encounter today, and he made the comment that, but we dare not respond to people like this in repulsion, but we must respond to them in love. I agree with that, but I also told him that the best way to overcome sin is to be shocked by it. And we need to continue to be shocked by it. There's things in the world today that people hardly dare speak up against, these kind of things. Whereas, and I wanted to preach to the young people, most of them aren't here this morning. I am thankful for the 102 of you that are here. But a mere 25 years ago, people wouldn't dare speak up for these things. Now they don't dare speak against them. That's the time in which we live. It was only back in June of 2000 that President Bill Clinton officially designated June as Gay and Lesbian Month. And now we have the LGBT, I can't even say the whole list, and they keep adding to it. Utter confusion. This debauchery has snowballed ever since. Warren uses the term this morning, same-sex marriage. I think maybe a better term for us would be, I've said this before, government-sanctioned sodomite unions. Peter says, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, he condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example to those that should live ungodly. So those things are there for an example for us. Would to God that we never forget that, and that the world around us would recognize that. And maybe we need to be more diligent in pointing these things out. We could also turn to Matthew 24. Turn there with me. I don't know. I don't have time to go into a lot of this. I know that you know these things. Paul, when writing to the Thessalonians, gives some very clear outline of the second coming of Christ and what's going to take place. But he does make this statement, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Most of us know these things. We just need to be reminded again. And so here in Matthew 24, we have a list of things that Jesus gives us as a sign of the end of the world. He speaks of wars and rumors of wars. Nations rising against nations, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilences, earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then he talks about persecution. But just picking a few verses out here in verse 4. Maybe one of the most important ones for us today, he says, take heed that no man deceive you. Because in verse 13 he says, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Verse 35 he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Verse 42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Verse 37 through 39 here, he says, But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And I think that's the greater danger for us if we don't talk about these things. If we're not reminded that we're living in the time of the signs, we want to even realize that we are. Now I'm going to deviate a little bit from those usual things that all of us know. And speak a little bit of what's happening today. And I recognize the fact that I've probably followed this closer than a lot of you. I know that there's brethren here that could give much more detail to it than I can. I invite you to speak. I invite any correction. But on October the 7th, 2023, there was an atrocity perpetrated that changed the world forever. And I'm afraid it'll never go back to what it was. Now I say it changed the world forever. Maybe it just revealed the world as it was. But you know what happened when Hamas from Gaza broke through the security fence into Israel and murdered and raped and burned alive and beheaded and took hostages, civilians, men and women. Children, no regard for age, babies burned, old men taken captive and killed. In the most barbaric ways, things that were unheard of until ISIS against the Yazidis. One of the signs of the times is violence. But as we all know, this provoked protests and demonstrations all over the civilized world. College campuses, governments, politicians, and you're reminded of how fragile even the system in the United States is. Protests and demonstrations. But the time of the signs. These protests and demonstrations were not against the perpetrators, but against the victims and their response to the ongoing violence against them. To the point where you would think, people who have any ability to think, well, I just don't understand it, how college students and even governments and politicians can speak up in support of these kind of atrocities happening in the world today. But they have. There's even suggestion that Hitler was right. It has exposed an anti-Semitism across the world. I'm going to make a statement. Anti-Semitism is not Christian. The Old Testament scripture primarily revolves or involves the children of Israel, the Jews, the Semites. They figure a big part in the New Testament. We just got done going through the book of Galatians, albeit many times in a negative way. But the Jews figure into a big part of end time prophecy. In fact, what is known as the Great Tribulation is as well called the time of Jacob's trouble. Anti-Semitism in any of its forms is not Christian. Well, that was October the 7th of last year. On April the 14th of this year, there was a miracle of biblical proportions. I wonder how many of you know what I'm talking about. There was a miracle of biblical proportion. But did we notice? April the 14th, 2024, is when Iran shot over 300 missiles and drones at Israel. Only two actually hit Israel. The huge amount of intended casualties were limited to one young girl being severely injured. I quote a newspaper that is anti-Israel. It says, Israel's army added that a small number of hits were identified. In a base in southern Israel, minor damage occurred to the infrastructure. A 7-year-old girl was severely injured by missile fragments, while other patients sustained minor injuries and some were treated for anxiety. An Israeli scientist, and I wanted to read the whole thing, but I don't have time. An Israeli scientist wrote to his rabbi, and he said this, that on Shabbat night, which was Saturday night, something happened here on the scale of the splitting of the Red Sea. He says he's the doctor of physics. He has worked in cutting edge defense industry in Israel. He says, when I look at what happened on Saturday night on a scientific level, it simply cannot happen. He goes on to explain how everybody just responded in unity and all the defenses, even though they had never been tested in real time and even though people who manufacture them give them only a 90% accuracy, all the men involved and all the defense involved operated with 100% efficiency. And what was intended to wreak havoc in Israel ended up with one little girl with severe injuries. On a scientific level, he says, it simply cannot happen. He goes on and he gives other details. But then he says, if this is not an act of God, then I no longer know what a miracle is. Did we recognize it? Or maybe even more heart-searching, did we try to explain it away? When God split the Red Sea to deliver the children of Israel, that was something that the nations noticed, struck fear into their hearts. Either way, however you understand that, I am convinced that we are living in the time of the signs. There's a thought that the Hamas-Iran animosity against Israel was provoked by Saudi Arabia trying to establish a working relationship with Israel. I'd like for you to keep that in mind for the conclusion then. Unheard of. One of the most strict Islamic countries trying to establish a working relationship with Israel. On January the 24th, 2024, the president of Iran met with the president of Turkey saying, Turkey's security is our security. They, Israel, want to sow discord between the countries in the region. Our way of countering it is to tighten cooperation. Now, I know about Turkey. Turkey was a secular state, is established as a secular state. The present leader is trying to bring it back to an Islamic state. Otherwise, these things would not be happening. On April the 8th, this was posted. The far-right Russian political philosopher, and he gives his name, said, Jerusalem will be a Russian city or it will not exist at all. On April the 15th of this year, the president of Russia called the president of Iran. And as of now, Russia and Iran are cooperating. Russia is supplying weapons to Iran and vice versa. And since Iran failed in their attack against Israel, it's very probable that Russia will now step in and lead the next attempt. designed by God. Well, used by God for Israel's chastisement and Russia's destruction. These events are totally unprecedented. They've never happened before in history, these alliances. And so without any comments, I would like for you to turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 38. And I'm just going to read it and put in there for the different places the names that geographers have identified. Okay? They're not something that I've done. Geographers have identified these places. They could be wrong. Ezekiel 38, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Russia, the president of Russia, the president of Moscow and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Russia, I'm against the president of Moscow. I will turn thee back and put hooks in thy jaws, that I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Iran, Iraq, Syria, Libya, Ethiopia, with all of them with shield and helmet, Turkey and all his bands. The house of eastern Turkey, of the north quarters and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee. Be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. Note, in the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people, against the mountains of Israel, which have always been waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. Thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, having neither bars nor gates. And you could make a point of this verse. To take a spoil, to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the nations which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land. Saudi Arabia and the merchants of Britain, and all the young lions thereof, which might, pretty far-fetched, might include the U.S. One of the questions that my granddaughter asked me, is the United States mentioned in prophecy? I said, no, it's not. It wasn't in existence at that time, but there's also the very real possibility that at the end of the age, it will be so insignificant that it's not even mentioned. Here's a place it might mention. But what he's saying there is that there's this alliance of nations coming against Israel, and then there's these three who kind of feebly protest. What do you think you're doing? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, and it goes on there. Verse 16 says, it shall be in the latter days. And it describes then this battle. It mentions Russia again. It describes this battle, and it talks about what God is going to do. And verse 23 says, thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself. I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Chapter 39 is so very interesting as well. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from this day and forward. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, who are jealous for my holy name. Then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen, but I have gathered them into their own land and have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. Now I must quickly wrap this up. But I think, and I've said these, I've pointed these things out not for controversy, not at all, but because I thoroughly believe in my heart that we are living in the time of the signs. And these are things that have never happened before. They're happening today. I'm not able, and neither do I propose, to put all these things in sequence. But the more we study these things, the more we will see the Bible is clear. We are living in the time of the signs. Now, what do we do? Was another question my granddaughter asked. Do we sit back in fear? Do we think that it's no use to look ahead and plan? What do we do? I told her, we live every day as if Jesus might come, and we make our plans as if it could be another 1,000 years. Jesus said, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. I'm not saying they're coming to pass. I'm not saying that this all fits together. But he says, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. We could talk about a lot of things. We could talk about what the Bible terms as the Antichrist. And we know that the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. I mentioned the Great Tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. Don't have time for that. Must conclude it. The time of the signs means that we are today living in the expectancy of the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches that he is coming for his saints and that he is coming with his saints. The Bible teaches that we will meet him in the air. And the Bible teaches that he will descend to the Mount of Olives and enter Jerusalem through the eastern gate. Zechariah 14:4. Read that whole chapter of Zechariah. It says he's going to come and his feet touch the Mount of Olives. The mount is going to split in two. And he's going to enter into Jerusalem. That has not happened today yet. But we live in the time of the signs. The Bible teaches that Jesus is coming for the final redemption of the church. We had that in the lesson this morning. The Bible teaches that Jesus is coming to judge the nations of the world, and he's judging them primarily concerning how they have responded to Israel. And the Bible teaches that Jesus is coming to finally chastise the children of Israel so severely that they will turn to him in repentance and faith. And so shall the end be. We are living in the time of the signs that Jesus gave to us to know that his coming is even at the door. Well, whatever else I've said, I told you, no controversy. Jesus is coming again, and all signs point to the fact that we are today living in the time of the signs.